This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, the series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, from Washington, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. We're very happy to have back on today's program the Executive Secretary of Circuit Riders Incorporated, Mr. Myers G. Lohman of Cincinnati, Ohio. Mr. Lohman, last week when we were having the first part of this discussion, you mentioned that the purpose of circuit riders was to combat communist exploitation of churches. Would you mind telling those who may have missed last week's program how much exploitation has there been by the communists of American churches?
The communist conspiracy has exploited the intent of the American to do good for his fellow man, and mostly by deception, they have caused the names of 2,109 Methodist ministers to appear in public print in support of various types of communist and pro-communist causes. And some 20.5% or 1,411 of the Protestant Episcopal rectors and 614 of the Northern Presbyterians and 660 Baptists, largely American Northern Baptists and the two major Negro Baptist denominations. The group that wittingly or unwittingly had its name appear in support of pro-communist communist causes more than any other on a percentage basis has been the Unitarian clergyman, 42%. That book I don't happen to have here with me today. And in the same volume, there are the records of 450 rabbis.
Now, Mr. Lohman, these numbers may be shocking to some of our listeners. Do you have proof of these statements?
Well, we have in these books what they are without comment is a clergyman's name, the name of the organization with which his name appeared connected in public print, and what he was, a signer or the president or the executive secretary or committee member or the initiator of a petition, and then the source, like the United States Supreme Court records, October 1955, or the Daily Worker of such and such a date, or a letterhead of the organization. And the proof is on the original, and this is merely a compilation telling who did what, where, when, and how, and where you could read the original if you were interested.
Now, what are some examples of communist front groups? How are they formed? How do they work?
Well, there are some organizations that the communist apparatus has caused to be set up, organized for the purpose of, well, maybe neutralizing the United States against a preparation for war, you know, prior to World War II or World War I or the Korean situation, or an organization might be put together for the purpose of defending the Rosenbergs, the convicted spies, and have them not electrocuted. Or when Earl Browder, the secretary of the Communist Party, was in the penitentiary, an effort was made to have him released. And then traditionally, late each year, a group of clergymen, usually some of the same ones and a few new suckers, or innocent dupes, petition the President of the United States that the convicted communists in prison be given Christmas amnesty, and to a person like me sitting on the sideline observing, it goes something like this: Dear Mr. President, will you let the atheists go home to celebrate Christ's birthday? That, to me, is one of the most ridiculous things that liberal clergyman has ever done. They want the convicted communists to go home to celebrate Christ's birthday.
Now, Mr. Lohman, could you tell us something about the workings of a typical communist front group?
Well, I would like to use as an example the Southern Conference Educational Fund Incorporated, with its headquarters in New Orleans, and which operates principally in the southern states of the United States, ostensibly for race problems, but it's clearly cited, this Southern Conference Educational Fund, as a communist front advancing the cause of the communist apparatus. This organization has a president, Bishop Edgar A. Love of the Methodist Church. Some of his predecessors have been connected directly with the Communist Party and apparatus. And this same Bishop Edgar A. Love of the Methodist Church is president of the same year, 1962, of another communist front, which has been cited by a House, a part of the Congress of the United States, the Methodist Federation for Social Action. A person identified under sworn testimony by the name of James A. Dombrowski, a Methodist minister from Union Theological Seminary in New York City, with his headquarters at Predator Street in New Orleans, is executive secretary. This organization has probably exploited the race problem, the race grievance through the South, as effectively as any other group in America. It has on its salaried payroll, at least its staff, its published staff, is made up of three persons. One is an Episcopalian rector by the name of William Howard Mellish, who in other testimony was identified as a part of the communist apparatus and a communist. The other two are Carl and Ann Braden, a husband and wife team, connected with a dynamite in a house story in Louisville, Kentucky. And Carl, by the way, Carl Braden was released from the federal penitentiary in February 1962. Now, this is an odd thing that particularly in a state like Mississippi, where this group works much of the time, that the Methodist and Episcopalian clergymen and the bishops of the two denominations are not known to have ever publicly denounced the Episcopalians or the Methodists or the organization Southern Conference Educational Fund. Now, I am not inferring in any way that Bishop Edgar A. Love is a communist or favors the Communist Party, but it's a little late for him to have not yet denounced the communist apparatus and much of his other record. It's an ironic thing that so many of these persons in the commie front movement, the communist front movement, and the pro-communist fronts are also officers or leaders or board members or committee members of the National Council of Churches of Christ in America, 658 of whom have records. Now, this Bishop Edgar A. Love's record is in this book, and it's a very interesting book because there are in this book the records of literally 658 officials of the National Council of Churches. Now, this national organization, Southern Conference Educational Fund, has some interesting board members or officers or committee members. For example, there was a person in here by the name of James A. Dombrowski, whom we mentioned, executive secretary, who was also, as early as 1944, listed by the Dies Committee as a member of the Supreme Bid for Power Through a Front, the National Citizens Political Action Committee. And there are others in here in the race grievance or incitation field. We have Mrs. Dorothy Tilley. We have Sidney Hollander. We have Clark Foreman, who's now the head of the executive director of Emergency Civil Liberties Committee, whose job it is to destroy the FBI. This mention of this other front thing here, this political action committee, is to bring out an illustration. When you get into the communist front field, it's like the little boy with a tomato can of night crawlers. You look in and you see motion, but you never know which is a head or a tail. But it's just, they're just so interlocked and interlaced. The interlocking of these persons in the grievance field in the various communist fronts makes it difficult for persons are not experts to understand why these people do these things when they're not Communist Party members.
Now, Mr. Lohman, when a person has his name linked with a number of pro-communist or communist front causes, can it all be ascribed to coincidence, or is it something more?
Well, when coincidence becomes a pattern, it is evidence. There have been many persons hanged or electrocuted on the basis of circumstantial evidence. Educated persons can hardly claim that making a career out of being duped, that's 10, 20, or 50, or 200 times, is coincidence. There's too much of a pattern there. And that doesn't mean they're communists, but at least they're making a career out of being duped.
I'd like to get into some of the criticism which you and other anti-communists have received in recent months. Some of your critics, Mr. Lohman, say that you and the other anti-communists, the prominent figures in anti-communism, are essentially negative in what you're trying to do. What's your comment on that?
Well, we're for God and the United States, and opposed to communism and internationalism and one-worldism and the loss of sovereignty. The persons who criticize us are persons who have never exposed or opposed anybody who have supported communist causes. And another interesting observation along that line is this. To the liberal, there is no satisfactory, effective anti-communism. It doesn't make a difference whether the anti-communist is a Negro or a white or a Jew or a Gentile, Protestant or Catholic, or living or dead. If it's effective anti-communism, it's not satisfactory. There is no anti-communist movement among the liberals. There's no recognized anti-communist movement in the NAACP, CORE, American Civil Liberties Union. You can go down literally hundreds of organizations, communist or non-communist, in the liberal group, and there's no anti-communist leadership recognized or a movement or a policy. But what we do is wrong. So we would be very grateful to you couple million persons if you will be good enough to find out for us a satisfactory and effective method of fighting communism.
Mr. Lohman, our time has gone by all too quickly. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, Dick Murphy, thank you very much for inviting me on your program, and thank you, fellow Americans, for permitting me to visit your home. Your country is a wonderful country. Let's save it. It's worth saving.
Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum, the Executive Secretary of Circuit Riders Incorporated, Mr. Myers G. Lohman of Cincinnati, Ohio. Join us again next week at the same time for another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, assisted by a grant from the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission, an official agency of the state of Mississippi. Join us next week for another informative discussion, and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedom.